Well, I'd like really to take up a little bit of what I spoke last week. And this morning, for those who are taking notes, we're calling our teaching, Don't Be Wise in Your Own Eyes. Don't be wise in your own eyes. And we'll look first in Proverbs chapter 3. And verse 7, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7, which says, this is where the Lord gave this to me, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. So do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. So what Proverbs is really primarily telling us here is that if you do not put wisdom in what you see, what you feel, what you touch, what you hear, and so on, in other words, the five senses, if you don't put wisdom in that, then you will depart from evil. He says that the fear of the Lord will cause you to depart from evil. Now, the key to all of this, because we have to take everything in its context, we look at also verses 5 and 6. Because we know this, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on to your own understandings, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And that is why you are not to be wise in your own eyes. And if you are acknowledging God in everything, you're trusting the Lord with all your heart, and in all your ways you're acknowledging him, the promise is he will guide and lead and direct your path. And that is what the overcomers must come into. That must burn in your heart. That must be a principle that works and dominates day by day with all that you do, with all that you say, with all the responsibilities that you meet in this life. That must be something that is in operation. An acknowledging God, a seeking God, a guidance from the Lord, so that your ways are directed by God and that you are not falling into man's ways. That worldly knowledge, that worldly wisdom that unfortunately is not God's ways. And so there is a worldly wisdom that is contrary to God's ways. And we've been brought up with it. We have been educated with it. Your parents passed it on to you. A wisdom. And then God comes into your life and he says, I will begin to teach you. I will begin to really show you what wisdom, knowledge, and understanding is. And so you begin to realize that many of the things that you trusted in, many of the things that you thought were right, you realize that God thinks completely differently. Let's just, for example, take one aspect. God, we're told, chooses the weak, the base, the foolish of this world. All that primarily the world rejects, God receives. There's the wisdom of God. The world will always go for those that are educated, for those who've got a good background, for those who earn a big salary, for those who look good visually, speak well, and so it goes on. They're all the things that the world strives for. They are all the things that you were taught at school to help you, to promote you, to succeed and to do well in this life. And God says, I work contrary to that. I choose those that struggle. I choose those that have tried and failed. I choose those that probably are not very academic. I choose those that probably have come from very poor, obscure background. God says, they're the ones I choose. And it's not to say that God can't choose some lord or lady or somebody who's born into royalty. I'm not saying that God can't, because God is God. What we are talking about is in the context of how God works, how God thinks. What is God's mind? Paul, the Apostle Paul, we find the Holy Spirit worked mightily with this man. And God was teaching this man God's wisdom, God's ways. And of course, he always does that through the working of the cross. As he works that cross in our lives, that death to that self-life, that independent spirit that wants its own way, that rebels against God, as he works that, as we yield to that, so we begin to learn God's wisdom, God's ways for our lives, for your life, your destiny, your future. And of course, we'll turn to something we know very, very well in the 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 18 to 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 18 to 20. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And indeed, he will. For he will reveal in the last days, when he puts down all his enemies and finally Satan, he will reveal his wisdom. And the world will look on it in absolute awe and wonder and will gasp. And they will see how God's ways are far removed to man's ways. And that is why God humbles us. And that is why he expects all of us to bow that knee in his presence, to acknowledge, to come clean, stop pretending. Because in that process, God's then able to start to unveil your eyes that blind you. He begins to unveil and he begins to show you his mind, his wisdom, his ways. And when he begins to do that, he also provides. He has to also heal you and deliver you in order to do that. You see, your minds have been so affected by the powers of darkness that God works that healing in the mind. And of course, when we speak of the mind, we also speak of the heart. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are the sum total of what you think. So if you think fear, if you think defeat, you are that. If you think hate, resentment, unforgiveness, you are that. And medical science and psychology cannot deliver you from that. They can expose the diagnosis. They can tell you what the problem is, but they can't heal you. They might be able to sedate you with drugs to calm you down, but they can't heal you. They can't change the heart. Only God can, you see. There's the huge difference. And that is why man patches over everything. Because that's all he can do. But when God takes our life on, he does a complete, whole, restoring work in mind, body, spirit. Because that is what you are. And so here Paul comes to this culture in Corinth, highly educated, prides itself in its philosophers, its science. All the cultures and arts of the day. And Paul comes right along with a message that cuts right completely across all of it, the lot. And he says, my message to you is the cross of Christ. What? The cross of Christ. You see, Paul always knew where to start. Paul always knew, by the Holy Spirit, where to start the root of man's problem. And the root of man's problem is receiving the stigma of the cross. What it looks like. What it looks like to the world. Do you mean to tell me that to become a disciple of Christ, I have to walk the way like Jesus went? Why, when he went to the cross, they laughed at him. They jeered. They mocked him. They spat at him. They said, if you're the Son of God, come down. And even the disciples forsook and left him. And the whole scenario looked completely useless, finished. And that is how your life, when you walk the way of the cross, looks every day to the world. And I've got news to you, even your family. It looks ridiculous, hopeless, lost. And God says, right in those conditions, that is where I'll teach you wisdom. That is where I'll teach you my ways, and not the world's ways. And so that is what God does with you. If you settle the cross, God is then working the cross experience. That is what it looks like. He's working that every day in your life. Because it had to require that, those conditions of the cross, to bring about resurrection, to raise Jesus above that. They were the conditions in the Father's heart to raise him up. You'd have never worked that one out. There was only one who had certain insight to that, and that was the devil. Because he tried to stop him from growing to the cross. He didn't see it all, but he was aware of God's plan of doing something, redeeming the world, was at hand. How did he know that? Because of Old Testament sacrifice. A lamb without blemish offered up for the sins of Israel. And he knew also that this was God's lamb. God himself providing his lamb for the world, for the sin of the world. That is why he tried to stop him from going to the cross. That is why he tries to stop you from your cross experience. Because it's in the cross experience that you learn the wisdom of God. You learn the ways of God. You learn what God has for your life, for the church you are baptized in, this walk as a pilgrim, just passing through, that is where you learn it. And this is why we've called this morning, don't be wise in your own eyes. Only God is all wise, and worldly wisdom isn't enough. And that is why God has to teach you, has to show you. The worldly wisdom that you were taught at school by your parents, God says, is totally inadequate if you're going to walk with me. And so when God exposes these challenging things, he will also provide. He will show you the way of escape. He will teach you his ways. That is why the Holy Spirit has come, to teach you the ways of God. Now, as we grow older, we gain certain wisdom. That is the fact of growing up. Even the most rebellious will, to a certain extent, gain wisdom, because that is what age does. And in society, in the world, you see some people who just gain probably greater wisdom. It is regarded that those who hold high responsibilities in government, judges, those in civil matters, those in commerce, directors, all of those are supposed to be men, women of great wisdom, understanding, sensitivity of the world's ways. And that's what you would expect. You expect somebody, if you, for example, go to a bank, you expect somebody to know what they're talking about, to understand the runnings of a bank. Or at least I hope you do. Although we hear more and more of the problems that go on and, things that can go desperately wrong. But nevertheless, if you go somewhere, you expect a service. And a service can only be provided when somebody has some insight, some wisdom, a knowledge and understanding of the running of the mill. Alright? That's how the world does. And God will use that, and God will bless it. Why do I say that? Because he says he will pour rain upon the just and upon the unjust. But God says, I'm calling you to walk above that. I'm calling you to walk above that. That's the world's wisdom. That's the world's way. That's the world's understanding. And that's what still has kept the world going on and not totally destroying itself yet. But God says, I call you to a walk, but a walk that is above all of that. Like that eagle we heard in vision this morning. That eagle that goes right high. An eagle that simply glides, doesn't have to even use its wings, but just carried on the thermals. That rest of faith. That eagle that can look right down upon the world. That is the wisdom and the mind of God. You see, when God begins to teach you his wisdom, his mind, his understanding, he gives you those eyes like an eagle. And suddenly you begin to see, I'm looking from above, and I'm now looking down upon the world. I'm looking down now at this situation. I'm looking down now at this trial that I'm going through, or whatever it would be. Although you're in it, you're not really amongst it. That is the point. That is how God works. Now, one of the best ways to walk in wisdom is to wait on God. That if you want to learn God's ways, wisdom, one of the best ways is to learn to wait upon the Lord. It is in that waiting, as we showed you again back in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, it's in that waiting, in that acknowledging, that God leads, guides, directs your path. And the problem is we veer off because we're not prepared to wait on God. And this is where the wisdom and mind comes in. Because God, in his wisdom, doesn't work the way you want him to work. And so, what your eyes are seeing, what your eyes are wanting, is not God's ways. And so you can't be wise in your own eyes. And when you start to become wise in your own eyes, one of the things you ain't going to do is wait on God. Because man's wisdom, which is pride, says, I'm not waiting on God. If God isn't going to answer, then I'll go off and do it myself. And that's where it goes wrong. And that's where we start coming off that path that God has for us. No, as you come back and you wait on the Lord, so in God's wisdom and mind and economy, he will guide you and lead you. And again, to wait on God for that wisdom and guidance is the foolishness of the cross. Why do I say it's foolish? Because very often, to wait on God means you'll pass a sell-by date. It's gone off. It's going to be thrown out. You know, we've all thrown stuff at them. We've looked at the date and think, we can't eat that. It's got old. So throw it out. But a man or woman of faith, spiritually, God says, you're not going to throw that out. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm preserving it. I'm keeping it. You see? And that's what he does with your life. You know, if God wasn't preserving us, probably half of us sitting here probably wouldn't even be here now. I'm talking about not even walking on planet Earth. We'd probably be ready for judgment, for hell. That's what it would be. So God's preserving us. He's keeping us. And that's the wisdom and the mind of God. So out of the best way it is to wait on the Lord. Now, we see the foolish virgins, they lacked wisdom. They lacked wisdom. Let's just turn to it quickly. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. How unwise. See, the 5 wise are not foolish enough there, are they? See, this is where the 5 wise, that wisdom comes in. This is where they've paid the costs. This is where they've learnt the wisdom of God, because their wisdom says, I'd love to give it to you, but I can't, because I won't make it in. And I work out my own salvation with fear and trembling, but I can tell you where you can get it from. But the wise answer, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterwards the virgins came also, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, surely I say to you, I know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. In other words, he didn't know them as first fruits. That's what he means. He didn't know them as overcomers who had paid the price, who had applied that wisdom. And in the trial and in the test, you see that wisdom wasn't really there. And they're trying to get it. They're trying all of a sudden to learn God's ways. But they missed it. And God says, no, go back and get it where I got it from. And where do you get it from? This. That's where you get it from. You get it from hearing, reading the Word of God. You get it by being identified to the body that God puts you in. You get it by going through trials, tests. You get it by the way of the cross. You get it by fellowship. And so it goes on. That is where you get it. That is the wisdom that comes from above. Now it's interesting, the Hebrew understanding of wisdom, and we all start with the Hebrew because the Hebrew really gives you the real meanings and understandings of these terms and these words that we speak about. But the Hebrew understanding is in a sense of skill, intelligence. It's sensible and being skillful. It's being sensible in your discernment, in your judgment. That is the understanding of this wisdom that we're talking about. So as you step out in faith, which you do each day, so you step out in that discernment. Faith isn't just faith. Faith isn't just believing in that sense. It's having discernment. It's being skillful. It's being wise, knowledgeable, understanding. In other words, let me put it in simple terms. You're about to step out in faith and trust God. But you don't just do it because it's the right thing to do. You don't just do it because you come away from church, I've heard about faith today, a faith message, right, off we go, I'm going to step in faith and everything. No, 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 no. That is not the steps of faith. The steps of faith are waiting on God, and as you wait on Him, He leads you, the Holy Spirit, towards that step of faith. A lot have lost it with healing. Because you heard me preach it, you saw it in the Word of God. Right, let's throw the pills away. Let's stand on the Word of God, and so forth. And nothing happened. You know why? Because you need to apply that wisdom, that knowledge, that understanding. That's how the Hebrew gives it. And only the Holy Spirit can teach you that. Only the Holy Spirit can prepare you that. You are like an athlete. We've got the Olympics coming up this year. And if you're going to watch it on television, there's something that I want you to watch and observe and take in. Particularly in the athletics. This is where you get it. Before they start, they have prepared. And they come into the arena, and they're all, you know, psyched up and everything. And before the race, or before the javelin, or before the discus throwing, or whatever it would be, you watch them, they're preparing. And you watch the language, they do this. And they, all this, they're getting the body going. And they're focusing, they're focusing. They know that they've got to get it right. They've only got one chance. And so they focus. And they begin to get ready. The whole body is starting to get ready because out of them is not only mentally, but a great exertion of energy. Everything has got to all work and come together. Technique, training, breathing, mental, rhythm, the lot. That's what they have to do. Now, let's take that over to the spiritual. God requires exactly the same with us. You cannot just switch faith on. You cannot just jump out and believe God. God has to create the conditions. The Holy Spirit has to go before. We heard it in prophecy. He prepares you. He is teaching you for that step of faith. You have to move with Him. That is why the bride that's being prepared, the church, the body, has to move with Christ. God is working in this church with you and me, where we do nothing independent from Jesus through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. What he says, we say. What he thinks, we think. Where he goes, we go. How he feels, we feel. Completely one with him. The walk of faith. It's called unity, oneness. That is what he's teaching us. That's why he's given us faith over the years. But you can't just jump out. You can't just work faith up. And this is where it has gone wrong. And this is where Satan has tried to come in and tell you, see, it doesn't work. Nobody does get healed. And so on. He becomes very, very vocal, doesn't he? Becomes very vocal in trials and so forth. Well, they're the tests of faith. But what is God teaching us? He teaches us daily in that wisdom to wait on him. Because it's in that waiting you move with him. Only the Holy Spirit can train and teach us this. And this is the mind of God. You will never get this training from the world. You will never get this training from education. You will never get this training from your background, where you come from, what family life you come from, whatever it be. You will never get this training from that. Because that wisdom is contrary to God's ways. You see? And so, here is this understanding of this wisdom. And of course, wisdom is required in leadership. Wisdom is required in my ministry. Wisdom is required with you. Wisdom is required with the gifts of the Spirit that we have in the church. That wisdom, knowledge, understanding is required. The same as steps of faith. Even we're told that wisdom is given to angels, that angels have wisdom. Because it all fundamentally stems from God. And of course, wisdom is also connected with understanding. Because we have brains, so we have to understand this wisdom that we're being taught by God. Now, with the Greek, when we talk of wisdom, this wisdom is a little bit more subtle because it's a wisdom that is connected with skill, and it could be skill in the arts, in inventions, in experience, skill in learning, hence your universities and so forth. So we begin to see that sort of wisdom when we look at the Greek. And of course, this wisdom can also apply to things of the occult. Did you know that Satan also teaches wisdom in that field? It's interesting. Even redemption and creation teaches God's divine wisdom. When you look at the heavens, you look at the earth, you look at God's creation, God's handiwork, there you see the wisdom and the mind of God. When you look up into the sky, when you look up at night and see those stars, that is the wisdom and the mind of God. It's very interesting, talking of stars now and everything, the latest report I've heard is that possibly they think there isn't human life out there. Oh, I wonder how many millions and billions of dollars it's taken them to come to that conclusion. Huh? When it's in the Bible already. See, there's man's wisdom to the wisdom that God's teaching you. Aren't you blessed? See? It's just one example. It's one example. Finally, wisdom is essential to the study of God's word and the Holy Spirit. I've already just touched on this with your steps of faith, but that wisdom, leading of the Spirit, is essential when you open up the Word of God. And that is why when you open up the Word of God, give yourself a little time. Get yourself right first with God. Get in your closet and just start to praise Him. And Father, I'm now going to read your word. And Father, I believe the Holy Spirit's here to teach me. You're going to open up your word to me as I look at this now. You're going to give me that wisdom, that knowledge, that understanding that can only come through the Holy Spirit. And I can guarantee when you open up, if you believe that, you start to read it, God will speak to you. It'll blow your socks off. It'll be so profound. Acts 6:10. Acts 6:10. Actually, let's take it from verse 8. Here we see where Stephen is about to face his martyrdom, accused for blasphemy. And in verse 8 it says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedom, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spoke." There you go. They couldn't match it. It riled them. It cut right across religion, their hypocrisy. And friends, I've got news for you. You might be like that. They'll be riled. They will hate what comes out of your mouth, because it is the wisdom of God that God has taught you over the years. Ephesians 1, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." Why? "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places." Again, there is the wisdom and mind of God that is to be granted and given to you. Now, it's something that you have to ask for. You have to want this. God isn't going to force these things on us. We have not because we ask not. But what is the point of walking with God if you don't understand Him? What is the point of walking with God if you don't ever learn His ways? That is ridiculous. What is the point of marrying a husband or a wife and not knowing them or understanding them? You couldn't make any relationship on that at all. And so how much more with God? So He gives us this. He'll grant us this, so that we can know these things and that our eyes will be opened. Well, as we start to bring this to its conclusion, I want to now look at areas that where we can still lack this wisdom, spiritually understanding, discerning. These are just areas, and a lot of these you know, but we need to bring them up again in passing because they are essential. But for this wisdom that we're talking about, you need to have this prayer life. You need to talk with God. You need to be seeking the kingdom. That is part of discipleship. That is part of the walk. And that should be operational in your life. And if it isn't, then something is going wrong. Because that is where you're going to learn. That is where you're going to get this wisdom from God. And I've also touched on it, secondly, is where it is important to have the word in your life. And that is, as you ask God to open his word to you. You ask God to make you a student of his word, to keep you in his word, to keep you disciplined in his word. Because they're the things you've got to ask for, because we're not otherwise. There's too many distractions in this world. There's too many things that take our mind off God's word and distract us. I know that only too well. But I ask God to deal with those things. And he does. And so, as we look at the word of God, that word's open up, so it's giving us wisdom. It's teaching us God's ways, and not the world's ways. And thirdly, we begin to learn from God's ways and leadings. Because then the Holy Spirit begins to show us. He begins to work. He begins to take over. And sometimes he allows us to go through trials. And those trials get very fiery. They get very hot. Because he is getting you to know his ways and his leadings. And to know those ways and to know the leading of the Holy Spirit, God has to burn some things out of your life. He's going to do it. Because they're obstacles otherwise. And so don't think God hates you. Don't think God's given up on you. Or whatever it is, he's got to burn, he's got to remove these obstacles in our life, in our thinking, in our heart, in order for us to learn his ways, to get that wisdom. You see, it's like I often say, wisdom is free, but not cheap. And that applies with everything with God. God is going to teach you to have wisdom over stewardship. And you need wisdom. You see, a lot of us in the past, oh, well, I'm in faith, God will supply. And when trials came along, financial trials came along, hang on a minute, don't think I am. How do you know you're not? Because you're hearing your confession. You're all anxious. You're all uptight. You've lost your peace and everything. I thought I was in faith. God says, you need wisdom to be a steward. And so to have that wisdom, God is going to allow what appears outwardly sometimes financial disasters. In other words, you lack wisdom with your credit card. You lack wisdom because you heard the salesman trying to get you to buy something when you knew you hadn't really got the money. And so it goes on. We're drawn in. And God has to begin to work with you. And then he puts you into a state where only God can financially get you out of the mess that you've made yourself. And what is he teaching you through that? He's trying to get your attention because you need wisdom. And with that wisdom, you need knowledge and understanding. And when you get that applying, get that working, you'll have your faith working as well. Not only will you have your faith working, but you'll have your peace. And you'll have the evidence that it's working. Can you believe that God, after the mess you have made, can get you out of debt? Well, be it according to your faith. But I can assure you, he's going to teach you wisdom along the way. And that wisdom to get into your heart, at times, might be painful. But he can do it. Because to be an overcomer, to be a wise virgin, you also have to be a good steward. Why do I say that? Because a wise virgin has got oil. And has taken also a vessel and with oil as well. And oil costs. And so you have to have money. But in this case, of course, it's spiritual, isn't it? And so you have to have wisdom for these things. And so we have to have wisdom to walk in this life. God wants us paying our bills. You say to me, but Pastor, hang on a minute. You have no idea. Have you heard the news lately? Have you been into the shops? Have you been to the supermarkets? Have you seen the prices of things rocketing, going up and up and up and up? And here you are talking about getting out of debt. Yes, I have seen it. Yes, I have heard the news. But that doesn't change God's word. And the point that I raised this morning is, what report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe those reports? Are you going to believe what you hear on the news, what you read? Or are you going to believe God's report? Now, God is in control. And if prices are going up, then God has allowed it and it's permitted for a reason. For a reason. What God is wanting us is to have faith, wisdom, to walk in those conditions. But God says he will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. And so you know as well as I do that is putting the kingdom first. But maybe our eyes still need to be open with regard to being stewards. We're still not seeing yet. We're still wanting everything we see. That lusting of the eye. You see? We've all got to watch it. We've all got to watch it because we're totally bombarded with advertising. The moment you get out from your door, you get into your car or walk along the road or get on your bike, it doesn't take long before you see advertising somewhere trying to get you to buy, to keep you in debt, to keep you bound to the system. They promote this. It's all part of the Antichrist system. To keep you in debt. To keep you bound to your credit card. Because the powers of darkness have got you. Because that is the way the mark of the beast is going to be enforced. You won't be able to sell or buy unless you take that mark. Now, you can sit back and say, oh, well, of course, that's not going to affect me. I'm going up in the rapture. I've got news for you. Unless you apply wisdom now, you ain't going up in the rapture. Because God isn't going to take you up in the rapture, leaving a string of debts and problems. The Bible says we have to get our house in order. Now, if you want that, then God will do it. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a few ouches. Maybe some tears. But if you want your house in order for the glory of God, he will do it. And a wise man or woman will see that and will want that for the glory of God. Well, coming to an end now, you need wisdom for general health. Just walking in this life. What do I mean by that? Well, I simply mean really common sense. Again, do I need to say it? Well, I think the Holy Spirit wants me to say it. You need to eat well. You need to eat wisely. You can't live on chips and burgers. They have side effects. You need to eat wisely with God, with what God has given to us. You need to have your sleep. If you're only surviving on 4 hours sleep a day, you are going to eventually reap what you sow. So you need to have your sleep. And of course that all varies. Some can survive on 6, some need probably 7, 8. That's generally medically, they say that's all you need. The point is that you're having correct sleep. That is good mentally, physically. For you. Also, physically, you need to have a certain amount of exercise. If you just sit all day and do nothing, then you're going to become very dull, lethargic, your muscles aren't going to work properly, and you can become susceptible to clots, heart problem, strokes, all those things that can associate with it. Now, you're saying to me, yeah, but it says in the Bible that exercise profiteth little. Well, what primarily that Paul was speaking about there is where people who drive themselves in exercise. And of course, I go to a gym and I see there are people there who literally are driven by that demon of this age. They're driven. How do I know it? Because I've watched them. And every time I go there, they're always there. And you'll be amazed who do this. So some guys particularly go there, and they're married. And I've said to one or two of them, what does your wife think of this? Oh, I've got a good marriage. I said, you must have. I said, you know, I don't know many wives will put up with you every night at the gym. So, you know, they're there. And I watched them. And I watched some of these guys. It's mainly with guys. They go on one, and they rush off, and they go on another one. And they rush off on another one, and another one, and another one, all the while. And I'm thinking, you know, yeah. And you know, and I'm thinking, why do they do that? Maybe just one or two apparatus is all you need for that evening, because you're working on certain parts, certain areas. And they're driven, or they go on a treadmill, and they go so fast, they nearly have a heart attack. Oops. They're driven by this. You know? And we can bring that over into life. We can bring it over into life. Where you've got people today, when they go for a walk, they can't walk, they've got to run. Because they've got to get weight off. You know? Or if they walk in the streets, they go shopping. They can't walk, they've got to do power walking. You know, it's because they're driven all the time. Driven, you see. So that is not what Paul was speaking about. And of course, it wasn't a problem in those days because most people worked physically. They walked everywhere. So of course, you were using up natural energy, using your body, using your muscles, and so forth. We're now living in a culture and age where fundamentally we're lazy. We're carried everywhere in cars. You know, even government's concerned about it, you know, with regard to health and eating. Why? Because they realise the NHS won't be able to finance it. It'll be too big a burden, you see. As strokes increase and heart and diabetes and all those things that can be associated with it, it's epidemic. And it's not just this country. It's a worldwide thing. Even now, they're finding it increasing now in China, in India, as their economies are getting better and everything, they're seeing obesity working there as well. Where does this primarily come from? Well, I'm sorry to have to say, but it really comes from the USA. It's where a lot of it comes. It does. We're more influenced by America than any other nation on the earth. I know because I've been there. They live on their French fries and burgers. Mind you, their burgers are of better quality. I will give them that. But it's still probably 60, 70% fat. That's the point. Anyway, wisdom in general health is essential. And God will teach you it. God will get, you know, I know that we don't like everything. I mean, there's certain things I don't like. But I have found as I've given it over to the Lord has changed my taste buds because there's vitamins in it. It's good for me. And I find I actually like it. Whereas years I would have spat it out. God has done a work in me. And finally, and the most important one, wisdom will teach you to be teachable. That you don't know it all. That you're still learning. And you're still on a journey. That is essential. That is what wisdom will do. Wisdom will keep you humble. Wisdom will say, I still need more of God. I still need to know God's ways. I don't know anything unless God opens my eyes to see. Jesus showed that. The Son of God living in this world. And yet he said to the people, I know nothing unless the Father shows me. There was wisdom. There's wisdom. That is wisdom for your life. Unless God shows you, you do not know. I do not know. Unless God showed me this word this morning, I have no right to stand behind this pulpit and preach.